Saturday, December 4th, 2021. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no turning back. And that is especially true after this week. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight, as I am every week, because no one else works with me, because no one else wants to talk about the things that I like to talk about. Well, there is one person that likes to talk about the things I like to talk about, but she hasn't been on the show yet. Yet being the key word. This is going to be a relatively short show. I do have places to be today. I actually have some 9-to-5 work I have to do. I have to travel. I'm getting messages on Messenger. Okay, before we start, I like to bring some personal stuff in here occasionally. And one of the things I want to mention, just this has nothing to do with anything, is how much I hate this computer, the way that it updates me every time anything happens. And I'm sure there's a way to turn it off, but it seems like every time I start recording, whether I get a message on Facebook or it lets me know my battery is low on my mouse, it pops up, you hear a ding, and it's very irritating. It's not so irritating when I'm 50 seconds into a show, but there have been times I've been, 40 minutes into a show when it happens. And as crazy as it sounds, sometimes I do legitimately think about canceling the entire show and starting over fresh from the beginning. And I know that absolutely sounds insane, but you might not believe it. I'm somewhat of a perfectionist. I actually want this show to be taken seriously, which it sounds ridiculous, I know. But sometimes I feel like a journalist still. And whenever you hear the ding in the background, I'm sure that, wipes away whatever illusion there is. Before we get into it, good news for me personally. This doesn't matter to anybody else, but I finally got my hands on a PlayStation 5. It's been a year that I've been trying to get a hold of one. I got an Xbox Series X the day it came out. I was lucky enough. My good friend Asa pointed me in the right direction and I got one, but it's been a year of trying to get this thing. I know you're probably thinking, what's the, so what, who cares, good for you, go play, Final Fantasy VII, and I will, don't worry, but it's part of a much bigger problem. It's not that I spent a year trying to get this system because I didn't have the money, or because I was just putting it off. No, I actively spent a year trying to get this system because you couldn't get it, due to COVID and the chip shortages, and of course, scalpers and bots. The system was impossible to get a hold of. So for me to be able to get one after a year, and I'm someone that works in the video game industry, you can see how much of a problem that is. And I know with it being Christmas, there's a lot of families out there trying to get these systems for their kids, and they absolutely cannot because of the problems I mentioned before. And it's really disappointing because, as much as I kind of hate children sometimes, you hate that they can't get this on Christmas, that, parents can't make their kids happy. And I hate that. I do. So my advice to you, if you're looking for my advice, is to go to Walmart, get on the website, upgrade to Walmart Plus. That's what I did. It's like $13 a month. You get a bunch of perks, and you also get like first pick when it comes to system drops. I got mine the first time. So if you are struggling this year to get what you want, check out Walmart. It's a good option, and I would never, ever, ever advise anyone to go to Walmart in any way, but this is a necessary evil, unfortunately. Now, we will be talking about the scalper situation because myself and Jesse Kimball, who is the co-owner of Podzilla 1985, we've been discussing this. We are going to talk about it on next week's Podzilla After Dark. That is over on Podzilla1985.com. We're going to be talking about the scalpers and how they are affecting this holiday season. We got a lot of venom and a lot of anger. So you definitely want to stay tuned to that and share your frustrations with us. Okay. And with that said, let's jump into the I wish it were fake news. A steal from Norm MacDonald and put my little spin on it. So we're keeping an eye, obviously, on what's going on with Roe v. Wade. That is the potential to be absolutely devastating. And we are, and I say we, of course it's just me and the people that I talk to. We are keeping an eye on it and we'll absolutely report on it as it happens. But right now, today, this show, I want to talk about two very specific things. Oh my God. I don't need to restart my computer right now to update my controller. Please leave me alone. And I swear to God, computer, if you restart in the middle of my show, bad things. bad things. I'm not afraid to destroy an inanimate object. It will happen. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on Roe v. Wade. We'll talk about it. But tonight I wanted to talk about two very specific things. And both of those involve a favorite topic of ours over on Podzilla 1985, gun violence in America. One of my absolute favorite articles from The Onion that pops up way too often is a headline talking about the latest school shooting that says, no way to prevent this, you know, says only country where this happens frequently. Because we did have another school shooting. Actually, I think we've had two since then. One has gotten a lot more publicity than the other one, and that's in Oxford High in Michigan. And we're going to talk about that first because, man. Oh, so what happened? In case you missed it, there was a teenager at this high school named Ethan Crumbly who killed four students, injured another seven with a pistol, 6 hour, I believe. 9mm, I want to say. I may be wrong on that. I need someone that is a gun expert to let me know. And it gets weirder from there and worse from there. Obviously, the tragic loss of life is what you want to focus on immediately because this is too much, man. 2021 is on record. It's already the deadliest year in the history of school shootings in America. Would you believe that second and third place was 2019 and 2018? Can you believe that? And I checked the meter earlier. Unfortunately, we did not fill the thoughts and prayers meter up enough. So, unfortunately, guys, this is going to happen again. Until we get more God in the schools, they're going to keep shooting kids because we're not praying enough or something. I don't know. It's frustrating. There was a headline once, a front page article, and it was out of New York. I forget which New York publication it was, but it literally in giant text said, God's not fixing this. And I absolutely loved that front page headline because it's absolutely true. Whenever something like this happens, there's usually three camps. There are the people who are absolutely devastated and want to change. They want reform. They want some kind of gun control. They want something. They're tired of seeing dead kids. Then there's the camp that believe it didn't happen and that it's just a false flag operation designed to take away guns from Americans. That's your Alex Jones type conspiracy nuts who hopefully they will nail him to the fucking wall over what he said. And then there are the people who throw up the thoughts and prayers and they're going to be praying for the families and all that. And then that's it. That's all they do. Like the thoughts and prayers is some kind of magical token that will fix everything. Thoughts and prayers. Look, I've talked about religion on the show before. I'm not anti-religious. All right. I'm not an atheist. I am agnostic. I'm agnostic because I don't know. The idea that there is a supreme being, especially one in some actual kingdom where you live forever praising him, seems a little far-fetched to me, but so does existence. The fact that we exist at all is kind of far-fetched. The fact that there is a universe that is eternal and also created and all these other things, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-blowing. So sure. But even if you believe in God, even if you believe in prayer and things like that, it's not fixing this. How many school shootings does it take? How many mass shootings does it take before people that rest on their laurels of thoughts and prayers realize that it ain't doing shit? You can thoughts and prayers the night away, and one, it doesn't bring anybody back, and it doesn't stop the next person from committing his crime and killing people. And if you are desensitized by dead children at this point, I'm not entirely upset with you because I can see how somebody would be when you see it all the time. But the problem is that we see it all the time. How is this not affecting more people? How does this not upset more people? You see the politicians go out there with their thoughts and prayers and they're so upset and their heart is breaking for these kids and these families, but they don't do anything about it. They just wait for the next one and they repeat and repeat and repeat. I'm sure they have a button on speed dial that just automatically post to Instagram and Twitter or whatever saying thoughts and prayers with the family. They probably don't even put the names in there anymore because they had to do it so often. It's just a generic thoughts and prayers for the family message, and then they go about their day and then they fight with each other and it's a giant pissing contest and they're deciding on our rights as people and not caring about the kids that are dying. And they absolutely do not care about the kids that are dying. You can say they do all you want, but if they did, they would do something about it. They would change something. I, for the longest time, I live in a red state. And in this red state, I have heard since I was old enough to recognize politics, which was actually pretty early, because we've talked about it on Podzilla before. I had a very strange childhood. While everybody else was watching Nickelodeon and going outside and playing, I was inside watching, you know, Dateline and Meet the Press and stuff like that. I was voting in presidential elections when I was a teenager because my mom, who didn't have great eyesight, would sneak me in to the polling places and tell them, oh, he helps me vote because I can't read the cards very well. And since they knew my mom, they were like, sure, take him in with you. And then I would just vote instead because my mom did not study politics like I did, even at a young age. And so as growing up like this, one of the main arguments I always heard against the Democratic Party was they're coming to take our guns. Have you heard that? Do you know someone who has a gun or has many guns who has told you before that the reason they didn't like Hillary Clinton, the reason they don't like Barack Obama, the reason they don't like Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, the list goes on, was because they're going to take our guns. Democrats hate freedom. They hate freedom of speech. They hate freedom of religion. They hate, well, no, they do like freedom of religion, sort of. They hate our right to bear arms, and they're going to take our guns. And yet, despite Democratic president after Democratic president after Democratic president, no one's guns were taken. Not only were no one's guns taken, but they haven't even made much of an effort to change anything in the wake of so many deadly school shootings year after year after year. Like I said, it's getting progressively worse. The past 3 years have been the worst on record, with this year being the absolute worst. But every time the elections come up, the fear-mongering of they're going to take our guns, not only does it get more votes for the Republican Party, which is what they want. I mean, that's why they're doing it. They're fear-mongering. They're trying to terrify people who like their guns. But it also prevents us from making change because Democrats are so fucking scared of their shadow, man. They're too scared to do anything. You would think that when we had the House and the Senate and the presidency, we would make some changes and get some things done, but I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting, and I just saw another mass school shooting. So cool. Great changes there. We're really making an effort for our kids. And before someone says, okay, Shannon, well, then what's the answer? Because I've had people ask me that before. When I complain about this, when I talk about this, one of the responses is always, okay, well, what's the answer? I don't know what the answer is. But I'm also not an elected official. You cannot hold me to the same standard as we hold the United States government. It's not my job to figure this out. I don't have the resources to figure this out. But the government can make something happen. They can do something. And I've never understood the gun culture to begin with. I like shooting guns in Call of Duty. In fact, one of my favorite things about the PlayStation 5 is that it has haptic feedback and adaptive triggers. And so whenever I shoot the guns, it feels different depending on the gun I shoot. That is the extent of shooting guns that I like. Now, I know some people like shooting guns. And sure, okay, if that's what you like to do, cool. But at what point is the greater good, you know, better than your ability to go out on the weekend with your friends with a couple of beers and shoot some cans off the fence like I see in movies, which is, I assume, what all gun owners do. That was a joke. If you're a gun owner and you're listening to this and you're saying, this guy's an idiot, that was a joke. And plus, why are you listening to this? You know, we don't see eye to eye. I also apologize. Can't seem to not cough today. But like I said, the story gets weirder because not only did this little monster take four lives, injured seven more at Oxford High School in Michigan, but the way he did it, the events leading up to it are so infuriating. Because it feels like something could have been done. Someone could have taken responsibility. I believe, first off, I know I just talked a lot of shit about guns and gun owners. I believe it is absolutely possible to own a gun and be responsible. I know because I have friends who have guns and are responsible. They have multiple guns. I have a friend that has an assault rifle. And they're responsible. If you are responsible and we have the right laws in place, it is absolutely possible to be a gun owner and not be a problem. This is an awful, awful representation of it, but we have to talk about it. Because not only did this kid get a early Christmas present, which was this pistol that his dad took him to buy, but in school, one of the teachers saw him researching ammunition on his phone and reported it. And they tried to contact the mother, Jennifer Crumley. And Jennifer Crumley didn't respond to them. She didn't get back to them. Instead, she just texted her son with a message that, I'm paraphrasing, said basically, and she really did say, lol. This isn't me putting this in there. She said, lol, I'm not mad at you. You just need to learn how to not get caught. That is what Jennifer Crumley told her son when he got caught searching ammunition at school on his phone, is just learn to not get caught. It gets worse. It gets worse. Because another teacher saw drawings that this kid did. This Ethan Crumley, I believe is his name. And when they saw this kid's artwork of a gun pointing at the sun, at words that said, I don't have it here with me, but it was basically detailing shooting people. I mean, it was blood. It was blood everywhere was written. A gun pointing at it. A picture of someone getting shot in the back and dying. He wrote very disturbing messages in there about how the world is dead. And just stuff that was blatant cries for help. Or it was a planned thing. Maybe he did it on purpose to set up some kind of insanity defense like so many other shooters have tried to do. But maybe it's not. Maybe this was a legitimate cry for help. And they saw this. They reported it because this is obviously very disturbing. They brought the kid in along with the parents, James and Jennifer Crumley. And when they talked to them about it, they just disagreed with what the counselors and the principals were saying. They wanted them to take the son out and to get him counseling, and they refused. They left the kid in school, and they left because they didn't think it was a big deal. Apparently, he had the pistol on him at that time in his backpack. And no one, the parents didn't think anything else about it. And then he shot the school. And after he shot the school, the father realized the pistol was gone. It all kind of went to hell. And it's very upsetting. And I have approximately 3% left on my mouse. Thank you for the fifth update while I'm getting angry. And it gets worse from there. Because they arrested the kid. He was taken in fine. He didn't die. Four kids did. Hero included. And what did the parents do? What do you think the parents did? If I were to ask you right now, hey, what do you think the parents did? You think they would cooperate with investigators? Or make some attempt at helping, fixing this? I don't know how you fix that. You can't bring kids back from the dead. And I don't give a fuck how many thoughts and prayers you throw out there. No, instead, the parents, they disappeared. They disappeared. They withdrew $4,000 from an ATM from their account, and they disappeared. Slipped into the night. Their attorney put a message out when they're looking for the parents, because they were charged. They were charged with a litany of crimes. They were charged with 4 counts of homicide, involuntary manslaughter following the shooting. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that these parents should be held responsible for what their son did, which they absolutely should be, because they provided the weapon, they gave him the go to do it, basically, by not holding him responsible or even taking any interest or care into the obvious danger, mentally or otherwise, that he was in. They basically just gave him a gun and said, whatever, we don't care anymore. And you know that's true, because once they got charged with it, once they were held responsible for their part in it, they fled. Now, their attorney said that they were actually just afraid for their lives. They were scared. So they went into hiding, but they were going to turn themselves in. They did not show up for their arraignment. A tip led police to a warehouse where the parents were literally hiding in the warehouse. The parents were hiding in a warehouse. Does that sound like responsible parents to you? that they're hiding in a fucking warehouse while their kid is in jail for murdering four children, who he, by the way, is going to be charged with terrorism. And of course he fucking is, because terrorists are not just foreign people who come into this country and steal planes. Terrorists, there are way more terrorists right here in the United States that look like Ethan Crumley than there are coming into the United States. So of course he's charged with terrorism, and he should be. So they were arrested early Saturday, which is today, which is this morning, in Detroit after a long search, after they failed to appear in court on the involuntary manslaughter charges. And their attorney, Shannon Smith, put a statement out that said, "While it's human nature to want to find someone to blame or something to point to or something that gives us answers, the charges in this case are intended to make an example and send a message. The prosecution has very much cherry-picked and slanted specific facts to further their narrative to do that." I will wait to see what the prosecution's argument is, but based on what they just said right there, you're abso-fucking-lutely right. It is making an example and sending a message, because that's what we have to do. What else would you do to stop these things from happening? To stop some fucking stupid parent from buying their kid a gun and giving them free rein to do whatever they want with it? If you don't hold them responsible for it, then they're just going to keep doing it. And we're going to have to keep going through school shooting and school shooting. How many dead children do we have to pile up in a fucking pile over there before you care? Of course you make an example out of them. I hope they nail them to the fucking wall and crucify them. It is insanely irresponsible and dangerous. And the kids are literally dying. How is this not a bigger issue? You know, when the United States government disclosed all this information about UFOs, and I got so excited, and I'm like, oh, we're finally about to learn some truths, hopefully, and this is one of the biggest stories of all time, and no one cared. I got it. You know, I understand. It's like Hunter said, you know, until an alien comes down and talks to us personally, what can you do with it? Sure, it's kind of exciting, but most people don't care. Well, how do you not care about dead children? This is a completely different thing. You have to hold these people as an example. You have to send a message to other parents that you can't buy teenagers deadly weapons, especially when their teenagers are clearly troubled. These parents are disgusting and they're monsters. And they absolutely deserve to be fucking tortured. I might get in trouble with that, but they maintain their client's innocence and saying they're absolutely taking this case seriously. They're devastated by the events in the Oxford incident. This is not something that's being taken lightly by them or us. Mr. Crumley, as with Mrs. Crumley, is not a flight risk, not a danger to the community. There's no risk they're going to flee prosecution. They were never fleeing prosecution. That's really hard to convince me of when you're hiding in a warehouse after you just withdrew $4,000 like you're on the run. How seriously are you? I'm sure you are taking this case seriously because you don't want to get caught and you don't want to get in trouble. So you're running like a fucking coward, like your fucking coward son who went to school and shot a bunch of innocent children. I hope everyone involved in this is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. The kid, the parents, both, all three of them. They deserve it. And what else do you say? What else do you say about this absolutely disgusting and depressing turn of events? We're going to talk about one more thing. And obviously, we'll keep you up to date on this because there's going to be more from it. There's going to be a trial. I'm sure there'll be a conviction. I don't see how there's not. This seems like, if ever there was a slam dunk case, this looks like one of them. But who knows? I always say life doesn't surprise me anymore. And that's mostly true. It takes a lot to surprise me. But every once in a while, especially when it comes to the justice system in America, I'm often surprised. And I absolutely hate it. But I want to talk about one more thing before we get out of here today. Another incident with gun violence. This time from a police officer. I know what you're saying. A police officer shot and killed somebody and you want to talk about it? That's insane. How often does that happen? About as often, if not more often, than school shootings, unfortunately. This time it's out of Tucson, Arizona. And boy, this one is a fucking head scratcher, man. I posted the video of this on my Facebook a couple days ago. Unfortunately, I had to pull it down because Facebook was not happy with that. They're not happy with the truth. They don't want you to see the unpleasantness of life, because, you know, everyone talks about the PC culture and how everyone's, you know, we're weak and all that stuff now. I disagree with that, obviously, but there are some instances where I think that kind of is true. And this is one of those things when places like Facebook or whatever social media you use there, and YouTube, especially YouTube's terrible about it, where they demonetize or they completely pull things that are unpleasant because it's not good for advertisers or because it makes people feel bad. These kind of things need to be seen. When it comes to journalism and it comes to news stories, it needs to be seen. You need to know the terribleness of the world, because if no one holds these people accountable for it, they're just going to keep getting away with it. That is kind of the basis of journalism, is accountability. So for Facebook to say, no, you can't put a video up of this, and I get why, it is unpleasant, but people need to know. There's a case out of Tucson, Arizona. A 61-year-old man named Richard Lee Richards, you may not have heard about this, was in a Walmart store. He's in a wheelchair, just so you know. And for the record, Richard Lee Richards is not a great person. You can look into his past and see that he wasn't exactly an upstanding citizen. But that has no bearing on what happened on this day. So what did happen? Richard Lee Richards, in his motorized wheelchair, stole a toolbox from Walmart. And as he was leaving, and they reported it, he apparently allegedly pulled a knife on the cashier, who asked him to see a receipt and said, "Here's your receipt." As he left the store in his wheelchair, he was pursued by an officer. The officer's name was Ryan Remington. And I say was because he's no longer a police officer, and I'm about to tell you why. So Remington follows him through the parking lot, trying to stop him. And for the most part, it seems pretty standard. It's a special case, obviously, because the guy's in a wheelchair. So you can't just like tackle him to the ground or anything like that. The officer is walking behind him because the guy's, it's not like he's getting away. This isn't a wheelchair from Home Improvement. That they've souped up and he's going to go 70 miles per hour. It's just a motorized wheelchair. He's moving like a turtle. So the officer is following him and trying to tell him, you know, get him to stop because he just robbed a Walmart of a toolbox. He starts to go into a Lowe's store, and according to one of the employees that was involved with this, he told the officer who was trying to stop him from going to the Lowe's store, "If you want me to put down the knife, he's trying to get to put down the knife, you're going to have to shoot me." When the man, Mr. Richards, didn't stop and wouldn't put down the knife, he started to enter the Lowe's, and another officer pulled up, and this is where we get the body cam footage, and this is what I posted to Facebook, because what happens next is, as he's rolling in, literally, the officer, Remington, pulls his pistol out and shoots him 9 times. He shoots this man in a wheelchair in the back 9 times. And I'm not talking about he had to get his aim right. You know, it's not a matter of it took 9 shots just to hit him. No, he hit him all 9 times. We're talking about almost point blank range. He shoots him 8 times, pauses for a few seconds, and then shoots him a ninth time. Like some kind of action scene. He shoots him a bunch, stops for a second, and shoots him one more time just to be sure. Mr. Richards falls out of his wheelchair. The other officer, she goes to get help. And this cop, Mr. Remington, then cuffs him. He puts handcuffs on the 61-year-old man from the wheelchair, who is now, if not dead already, dying from 9 gunshot wounds to the back. And he cuffs him. Rolls him over as the pool of blood is spreading on the ground. Rolls him over and cuffs him and says, "Shots fired." And it didn't take long for them to fire this officer, obviously, and say that he's, you know, his actions were clearly over the top. It was unnecessary violence. And, you know, he was fired almost immediately. Now, his defense attorney, for the record, was trying to defend the actions as appropriate, given the circumstances. He said he's trying to talk this guy down and de-escalate. That's exactly what he's trying to do. Police business is messy at times. Your police business is messy at times. That's absolutely true. I'm not a police officer, so I don't know what it's like to be in that situation. And I know it's hard, just from the outside looking in. I'm not anti-police. A lot of my friends are anti-police, and I get why they are. I'm not anti-police. I think there are a lot of good cops. I truly do. I've known a couple. People that legitimately want to defend people because they care about people. But there is a problem. There is a problem, whether it's with the training or with who they're hiring, but there's absolutely a problem. And it's a situation like this, a case like this, that is glaringly obvious. Because there is in no world where a man in a wheelchair, despite the fact that he may have a checkered past, which was not known to this officer at the time, by the way, and he's holding a knife, he has a deadly weapon, but there's no reason for him to be shot 9 times in the back. Especially the officer had a taser. He didn't deploy the taser. Didn't even try. He immediately went for the pistol and shot the guy 9 times in the back out of nowhere. If you can look the video up, do it. Warning, it's disturbing. But if you want to see what an execution looks like and that they're trying to justify, look the video up. It's absolutely horrific. The question now is, will this officer be charged? Because that's a thing. Officers not being charged in situations like this. You remember the whole reason we had the Kyle Rittenhouse situation was because the officer involved in the Jacob Blake shooting was never charged. His actions were deemed appropriate when he shot Jacob Blake 7 times in the back at point blank range when Jacob Blake was going for his knife, allegedly. They thought it was okay to shoot him 7 times in the back. And now you've got this guy was shot 9 times in the back. They at least fired this officer immediately. So that's a step up, I guess. But will they charge him for that obvious murder? I guess we'll wait and see in the next couple days and weeks what's going to happen with it. But if you truly believe that there is no such thing as police brutality, or that police are justified in what they do, and you defend the thin blue line without questioning anything, watch the video and tell me that there's not a problem. You can say that it's just one bad apple. Sure. Like, I get that. Again, I think there's a lot of good cops, but it's not just one bad apple. There's a lot of bad apples, and we got to figure this out and solve it, or at least try to make changes, because there's no reason that we should have to read more stories about people getting shot in the back 9 times by a police officer. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. I'm sorry. It's painful. It's painful to even talk about, because I can't believe people would do this to each other. Whether it be kids shooting other kids in a high school, or a police officer who is hired, who is trained to protect and serve, would shoot a man in a wheelchair 9 times in the back when he had other options. I don't get it. I don't get people sometimes. And there are so many times that I wish that I just don't feel human. I feel like the watcher who's just observing human beings and trying to figure out why they do what they do. And I don't understand it. But as always, we'll keep you up to date on all of these stories. We'll keep you up to date on everything. I'm always around. If you have a comment, if you have questions, anything that you want to discuss here on the show, you can always get a hold of me on my social media. If you go to noturningback.podbean.com, which I believe is our website, we have the links down at the bottom towards my social media. I want to say it's like PZ85 Mr. 100 on all social media platforms. And you can look me up on Facebook, obviously. Let me know what you think. I want to hear your comments. I want to know your thoughts on these stories, on gun violence in America, on guns in general, or whatever you have to say. Look us up. Also want to mention that we're back next week with all new episodes on Podzilla1985.com, including that episode we'll have next week on After Dark about scalpers. We're also going to talk about our Spotify wrap-up. It's that time of the year. You can hear what Shannon Young, Mr. 100, has been listening to for the past year. Hint, a lot of Chevelle. I'm on my way to Chaffee. I have a 9-to-5 event that I have to go host, and I'm going to be listening to Javel all the way up there and trying to clear my mind after all of this that we just talked about. And that's going to be a lot. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. You have no idea how much it means to me when I know you guys are listening. You're reaching out to me. You're sending me stories, which is awesome. You're, you know, commenting. I love it. I appreciate it. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tums. And I love you guys so very, very much. Until next time, guys, take care of yourselves. Be safe out there. Keep watching the news. Keep people responsible. Hold them accountable. Later.